So this morning, I'm going to share from Old Testament and New Testament both. There are three points I'm going to share. First is biblical understanding for the ministry of deacon. Second thing, biblical qualification for a deacon, and then the biblical duty. Biblical understanding, biblical qualification, and biblical duty. Now, when we hear deacon ministry, it's a common understanding that people or certain people in the congregation are called to serve as deacon. And that's all over the world. Like, generally, it's a common understanding in most of the churches. But if we see in the Bible, it's not basically for a certain people, right? Yes, it's a government, Presbyterian government or Baptist, whatever. Like, definitely we should have election, and some people we nominate, they serve as a deacon. But if we see biblically, this is the call for every Christian. Why? The word translated as deacon in Greek word diakonos is the common word for servant. This, along with the call to serve, indicates that the office is one of the serving, helping, assisting. Now, Strong defines diakonos that is used in 1 Timothy chapter 3, a trusted officer of helps and serve in the local church. What we see in the Old Testament, like Joe read for us, 1 Chronicles chapter 9. Several groups of dedicated workers were appointed to serve in the Old Testament tabernacle. According to 1 Chronicles chapter 9, they were referred to as the sons of Korah, keepers of the gates, porters, and the Levites. They were forerunners to the New Testament deacons ministry. And if you see, when God brought Israelites out from Egypt, right, and end of the Exodus, the last chapter, we see God's presence was in the tabernacle. God gave direction, instruction to Moses how to build everything. And you see the list of the people recorded. And then ultimately, in the time of the temple, before David handed over to Solomon, right, what we see, David actually appointed peoples to serve in the tabernacle, right, to serve in the temple, right? So all these people, why they listed? To give us the picture, the body of Christ. Every person in the church, we are called to serve. And that's the very important thing. 1 Chronicles chapter 9:19, right? Chapter 9 and verse 19 reveals that the sons of Korah became the keepers of the gates of the tabernacle. In verse 22, we also see these men were chosen by David and Samuel because of their faithfulness. Psalm 84 was written for the sons of Korah. Its superscription reads, like when you open the Psalms 84, in the beginning it says, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. The word Gittith is derived from the Hebrew word gat, which means wine press. This indicates that this psalm was sung with a joyful spirit. It may even suggest the manner in which the sons of Korah carried out their responsibility. They did it with joy. Commenting on this psalm, Charles Spurgeon says, sweeter than the joy of the wine press is the joy of the holy assemblies of the Lord's house. We are called to serve, and to serve joyfully. And when we serve one another, we serve the Lord. And that's the heart of this ministry. It's not something that a position or power some people hold. No. And not only for deacon, every minister in the church, we are called to serve. By serving one another, we serve the Lord. That's the fundamental. That's the biblical understanding of this ministry. The sons of Korah were descendants of Korah who escaped God's punishment on their father for rebelling against Moses and Aaron. Numbers chapter 16. They became leaders in the worship services. Their commitment to service is reflected in Psalm 84 verse 10, which says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Being servants in the house of God was the ultimate reason for their existence. The sons of Korah were so committed to the charge that Psalms 84 verse 2 suggests that when they were not present at the tabernacle, they desired to be there. The psalmist says, "My soul longeth ye, even fainted for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried for the living God." That's the calling. That's the desire we should have. When we come to church, and when we serve in any area or any part, always remember that we are serving God. It's a worship. Paul uses this in Romans chapter 12, right? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, right? Our life, our time, our talents, everything, right? Church is not something called religious organization. Church is the body where people come together and serve one another, and by serving one another, serve the Lord. And that's why even the New Testament, when Jesus, right, when sons of Zebedee, James and John wanted to be great, wanted to have a power and position, but they did not understand the real power and real position in the kingdom of God. They fail to understand. And today, sadly, in churches, many people fail. People like to be in certain area, certain group or ministry because they wanted to have a power or recognition. And I'm sorry, I'm not judging anyone or anyone, but I want to really share my heart. One of the things last few weeks, I'm meditating and I'm praying for myself. God took me to at Belgrave Heights, and I thank you for all your prayers, right? I'm really enjoying and rejoicing God, serving there. But one thing also I came across there in that ministry also, that sometimes some people like to be self-glorified. They live at them, and that's very dangerous. That's exactly happening here. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But that desire is not exactly to sit, but to have a glory, their own glory. So people see that the James and John sitting at the right and the left hand of the Jesus, and everyone said, "Oh, wow." And today sometimes it's happened in the churches, in the ministry. It's very dangerous. And as we are going to hold this election, I think I personally, I'm going to pray definitely, but we need to pray and ask God that God appoint those people who really want to serve. It's a call for every Christian. And ultimately we know the story here, right? And then verse 42, Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." And today in many churches, many ministries, what is happening, it's called president and CEO, and sometimes I puzzle me. why we need all this position. Even in the New Testament, we elders, we are called to serve. Yes, in the Presbyterian government, we exercise certain authority, but again, that's for God's glory to serve all of you. We are first servants, then we are elder. But then verse 43, Jesus said, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. What deacon? Diakonos, basically servant. And then Jesus himself identified as a servant. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus warned against seeking power or lording it over others and taught that whoever would be great among you must be your servant, diakonos. He also taught, well, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant, diakonos. Mark chapter 9, verse 35. Also in Matthew chapter 25, verse 44. Bible tells us what Jesus said. It is those who serve his disciple when they are hungry, thirsty, strange, naked, sick, or imprisoned that will be saved in the judgment. So we are called to serve one another. Whatever capacity, whatever talents God has given us. In general sense, of course, every Christian is called to be a deacon. Indeed, believers are those who walk in the footsteps of the ultimate deacon, the suffering servant who came not to be deacon, but to deacon and to give his life as a ransom for many. If we said, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, Bible very clearly commanded, I'm not saying just a guideline, be imitator of God. And if I and you believed and claimed that I believe in Lord Jesus Christ, first thing we need to know him. And we need to imitate in every part in our life. Matthew Sumthrust is a wonderful author. He wrote a book on deacons. In his book he said, Jesus is both King of Kings and deacon of deacons. Bible also gives us biblical definition for this ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 8 to 12 Paul describes about this ministry. And there are 9 qualifications that Paul described in this passage. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 8 to 12. First he defined that deacon must be dignified. Verse 8. This term normally refers to something that is honorable, respectable, esteemed, or worthy and closely related to respectable, which is given as a qualification for elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 also. And it's very important. Second, in verse 8, he also said, not double-tongued. I was preparing this sermon, and when I studied this and not double-tongued, the first thing I said, God, forgive me. Very honestly. And I said, God, I'm sorry. Double-tongued is very dangerous. Those who are double-tongued say one thing to certain people, but then say something else to others. And ultimately, they lose their credibility. Credibility is very, very important. Many, many years back, I made up my mind and I learned this lesson. I listen to those people and respect them who are really credible. And it's very important. But if you are a double-tongued person, you would lose. Even though you do many things, but people won't trust you. And that's why it's important. Then the next one, Paul says, not addicted to much wine. And that's basically, Paul talks about the self-control. And one of the Holy Spirit fruit is self-control. And I think that is also very, very important. Self-control means to not gratifying the desire of your flesh. We may think this is right, but in our own eyes. Sometimes we justify, no, it's okay. No, it's not okay. Because we are serving one another, and by serving, we serve the Lord. So we need to continually think whom we are serving. Then the next one, not greedy for dishonest gain. And that's also very important, and we know that deacon means people or any other ministry also, we are entrusted, we are steward. Whatever God has put in our hand, we need to be honest, right? And one of the things we see in four gospel, Judas Iscariot, right? He received wonderful grace. He was appointed as an apostle, right? In Mark chapter 3, when Mark wrote all the names, right? And Jesus prayed before that. And Jesus chose Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was with Jesus for 3.5 years. So all the miracles, faith, right, loved by Jesus, even at the last moment, only Judas Iscariot who received the food from Jesus' hand. He experienced the love of Jesus, but he was a greedy person. Because Gospel of John, right, tells us that he was stealing the money. It was his greed. Then in verse 9, Paul describes that deacon must be sound in faith. Now, ESV translated this way, Paul also indicates that the deacon must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Now, mystery of the faith is a simply way Paul speaks of the gospel, right? So basically, whoever serving as deacons, it's very important that they have an understanding of the word of God and particularly gospel, right? Paul is not talking about the deacon or people who are serving have all kind of understanding of doctrine. That's not the Paul's view. But it's very important for any person serving in the church, right, to understand what I believe, what we believe, Christian faith, right? Because what we believe develop our worldview, right? And many times what is happening, we are holding the old worldview. But when we became Christian, when we became believer, what happened? Holy Spirit transformed us. Not just outwardly, from inward to outward. Right? And then our faith grow. In understanding of the word of God, we hold that faith by claiming God's promises in every area of our life. And when we serve, right, we can serve only joyfully because we have understanding that God has called me to serve, right? And by serving one another, I'm serving you, Lord. So the person would rejoice, regardless of any task. That's what Paul is saying. And then the sixth one is blameless. Blameless, basically, general term referring to personal overall character. Like the Bible uses in Job chapter 1, that Job was blameless. Blameless does not mean without sin. Blameless basically whom God called, gave the new life, right? And God imputed the righteousness of Christ upon him. So when God sees that person, God sees the blameless. Then the verse 11, Paul describes that deacons' wives must be dignified not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. This is also very important characteristics, because sometimes what happens, people who are serving in the church, and I'm not just showing only about the wife, but husband or wife, one up, right? But if our spouse is, they are not really God-fearing, it can damage the ministry. And that's very serious. And I saw in India also many churches, even involved in many ministries, sometimes spouse completely, they destroy the ministry. And many people, they got hurt, damaged. And then Paul says in verse 12, husband of one wife. Now we are living in a time that slowly, slowly world is losing the value of marriage. Among Christians also, if you look the statistic, not just Western world, all over the world, divorce rate is going high and high. When I and Jyoti we got married and when we were in India, we hardly heard word divorce, very honestly, hardly. If someone tells us that I'm going to get divorced, it was really big shock. But now, in India also, sadly, particularly from where we came in Gujarat, I heard some marriages, they are breaking even the next day after marriage. It's shocking. And then the last characteristics, Paul says, verse 12, manage children and household well. And that's very important, because if person who is doing the ministry in the church, if not managing his own household, Paul is arguing, how could that person actually manage the household of God? I'm not saying that family should be perfect. That's not the Paul point here. We all struggle. We all have challenges. But it's important that principle, biblical understanding and biblical qualification. And the last point is biblical duty. Now, sometimes we think that by doing ministry, I'm basically obliging God. No. By serving in the church, in the body of Christ, it's a blessing that God called us to serve in his body, in his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. So this is Jesus' church. And it's a privilege, it's a blessing, right, that God called us. But sometimes we think that, no, I'm doing that. It's good, thank you. But we are not serving particular person or pastor. We are not serving Michael Jensen or Lamb. We are serving Christ. We need to join with Michael and Lamb, right, as one body. In what way do they serve? By assisting the elders, guarding the ministry of the word, organizing service, caring for the needy, protecting unity, mobilizing ministry, and more. So this is basically biblical duty of deacon. One of the commentators said, spotting and meeting tangible needs. As we saw earlier, the apostle responds to the... In Acts chapter 3, if you read what happened there, that apostle wanted to prioritize their ministry of teaching. And we saw that the early church faced the challenge. What was the challenge? Right? We think that this was a challenge of the food. No. It was the challenge of the disunity. Because some people complain. So what apostle did, they appointed seven people, right, who basically fear the Lord, and then they appointed as deacons in early church. And that's why, and what they did, actually they started serving, but then by serving the whole congregation or first church, they help apostle and maintain the unity. So deacon ministry is not something, certain task we carry out. It's very important ministry. Protecting and promoting church unity. Just as the seven were tasked to salvage the unity of the Jerusalem church, so deacons today are meant to play a pivotal role as shock absorbs up in congregational life. A qualified deacon will increasingly resemble the kind of unity building love the Bible so clearly commands. They are really so important. It's like a cement holding together everything. Now, the next one also for the deacon ministry is very important. The first one I say, supporting and meeting tangible needs. Second, protecting and promoting church unity. And the third is serving and supporting the ministry of elders. It is not accidental that Paul turns his attention to deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. Immediately after discussing elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. So first he talks about elders, and then from verse 8 to 12, he talks about deacons. The structure suggests deacons are both paired with and subordinate to the elders they support. This relationship between the office is also implied in other passages where deacons are mentioned. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. And Paul says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. It's very important ministry. The purpose of deacons is inseparably tied to the priority of elders. By enabling elders to stay focused on their teaching and prayer roles, deacons both guard and advance the ministry of the word because they carry the load. And by serving, they are serving the Lord, serving the congregation, but also assisting elders. Right, pastors. Now, we are Presbyterian. The word presbytero means elders. Right? Michael and Lamb also, one of the elders. But their main ministry is, among us, preaching and teaching the word of God. Right? But if we want to support them, then we need to serve faithfully. But to serve faithfully, we need to understand our calling. Am I called? Sometimes people come to me also and say, I don't feel that God has called me. And again, my apology, I'm not judging anyone. And I say the Bible is full of everything. Right? The word of God actually encouraged us and called us to pray. So there are callings. I know God sometimes calls us for a specific ministry. I agree that part. But this is basically calling for every Christian to serve. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. A faithful deacon, Paul says, will receive two gifts in increasing measure. Number one, respect and boldness. The first comes horizontally from the church, another descends vertically from God. So, my brothers and sisters, we keep praying for this election, but when we pray, we ask God that Holy Spirit would inspire them and inspire us also when we nominate, that they would have this biblical understanding. Now, in conclusion, I'm going to read one paragraph from this commentator. He says, a church without biblical deacons may exhibit signs of health for a while, but over time its health will suffer. We rob ourselves of the benefits of God's revealed wisdom when we either unduly elevate the role of deacons or unduly reduce their role. Thankfully, the Word of God charts a more excellent way. What it says about deacons is not extensive, but it is enough. So it is enough for us in the Word of God. Matthew Sam Thrust, in his introduction to deacons, draws attention to the greater dangers hiding beneath the dining tables. And he put this way, how our churches react to conflict can make all the difference in whether our gospel witness is obstructed or accelerated. Acts chapter 6 is a story of church conflict handled very well. The seven were not merely deployed to solve a food problem. Food was the occasion, sure, but it wasn't the deepest problem. The deepest problem was a sudden threat to the church unity. Deacons rightly defined and deployed are an irreplaceable gift to Christ's people. They are model servants who excel in being attentive and responsive to tangible needs in the life of the church. One commentator says, deacons are cavalry of servants, deputized to execute the elders' vision by coordinating various ministry. And when deacon ministry or deacons flourishes, church flourishes. And my prayer is that God may give each one of us that desire to serve. When we come to the church, the Holy Spirit empower us and also enable us to serve. And when we serve, my prayer is God would give us the joy to serve, right? Regardless of our differences, regardless of our background, regardless of our culture, regardless of our language barrier, whatever. I must say, I really miss Neville. Yesterday I was talking with someone about my cancer at Belgrade, and I told my story that how elders holding that day my hand. And I never forget here, Neville hold my hand so tight. He served me in a way. And he strengthened me, he equipped me to serve the rest of my life. May God bless you.